Ching, ching, bling, bling. Let's cut the chatter. Today's episode, intermittent fasting, the 96-hour story. Welcome to the Tucci Talks Wealth, Health, and Everything Else podcast. I'm your host, David Tucci, an educator, a father of three. Join me as I take you on a funky journey through life from a reckless young man to a humbled older man. Each week, I will offer different insights on my life experiences and the experiences of others and how that has shaped our present day realities. So let's begin our funky journey into improving our health, wealth, and you guessed it, everything else. Welcome to another week and another Monday of Tucci Talks Wealth, Health, and Everything Else. Thank you again for joining me on whichever platform you listen. These weeks are passing fast, and I really enjoyed last week's interview with Tony. We had such a good time that I asked him to co-host today's episode because he has a science background, and I think he'll bring a little bit of insight to the episode. But before we go on to today's topic, we have to recap last week's episode where we went inside the mind of a fantasy football champion. The recap is brought to you by Anchor. As I reflect on last week's episode, I always look for any learning opportunity, and what I got from Tony was his dedication to excellence. Life just seems less of a struggle when you can foster a passion for something. And if you're thinking about making a change in your life, there's no better time than now to start laying the groundwork. The other nugget I got was the fact that in fantasy football, there can really only be one winner. And that's how sometimes it is in life when you're trying to achieve a certain goal. You're going to fall short because if there's only one winner, there's a lot of losing that goes on, a lot of failure. But that doesn't make the endeavor a failure because you got to understand, there's a lot of luck involved in anything you do. So there are lessons to be learned along the way through the journey. And what's important is if you control the effort and hard work that you put forward, success inevitably will come. And Tony makes sure that he puts in the effort. And I genuinely had a good time. I love talking fantasy football, and we had a fun time. Okay, having said that, this is a good segue as I want to welcome my co-host Tony Rick to the podcast. How are you, buddy?
Pretty good. Thanks for having me on. It's my first time ever being a co-host.
So what do you know about today's guest?
What don't I know about today's guest? I've known today's guest since we were in high school. I'd assume that's about, not to age us, of course, but I assume that's about 25 years ago. Following high school, we went to university together. We actually spent a year living together. I probably know enough about today's guest to make him sound really good or to make him sound really bad. And he probably knows the same about me. So, he's a father of two, one of my absolute best friends in the world.
So without further ado, then let's welcome my brother to the podcast, Robert Tucci.
Thanks for having me. This is exciting.
Now, just a heads up. Could we not call Robert, Robert? Could we call Robert Bob?
You know what? That's fine. If he's okay with it, I'm okay with it. Are you okay with that?
I can't call this guy Robert.
Okay. Fair enough. That was his nickname growing up. We called him since he was a kid. His name is Bob. So that's why Tony said that. All right. So the title of this episode is Intermittent Fasting, the 96-hour story. And I just want to make sure that our listeners know that neither Bob, Tony, or myself are doctors. We're not giving any medical advice. We're just here to share Bob's story. So 96 hours without food you fasted for. Why? Why would you do that to yourself?
As a challenge, I've been intermittent fasting for many, many years. And I did it one day. So I just wanted to keep pushing myself. And then one day I did a 3-day fast. And then I said, I thought I could go a little farther, longer. And then one day I decided to go as long as I could. And it ended up being 96 hours later.
So you just, it was just on a whim. You decided, how long can I push myself?
Yeah. I said, for sure, I'm going to get a 3-day because that was what I did before. And then I said, I'm going to go longer.
So you didn't go into this saying, I'm going to do a 96-hour fast.
No, I had no set number.
Now, out of curiosity, was this as a personal challenge, or was this to bring about some type of health benefits?
Both. Like intermittent fasting, you have the health benefits. I did a 3-day fast. There's health benefits. So I just kept going, and more a challenge with the side effect of getting good health benefits.
Okay. Without getting scientific, like what health benefits are we talking about?
I'm not going to go through the science. You can read that up. Your listeners can look it up. It's autophagy. It's just like a spring cleaning for your body. Any old dead cells, viruses, anything that's non-essential to the body, when you don't have food, your body cells will look for it and use it, what you have, and use those things that are non-essential, break it down, use it, and build new cells.
I was a little bit pessimistic, I must say, about this process of autophagy. And then I looked it up and did a little bit of research on it. And autophagy is, it can't be disputed. It's a real thing. It's scientifically proven to happen. So basically it's cells regenerating, not regenerating, but cells eating bad parts of themselves. So that's essentially what it is. And then they metabolize the bad parts. This is a real thing.
And then they get excreted? Do they get excreted after?
They get digested. So there's cellular organelles called lysosomes. They get the bad stuff that we don't need, gets packaged in vesicles, gets digested in the lysosomes, and gets recycled.
So that's why you're on here, for your scientific knowledge. I love it. So
basically what this is, it's a recycling of bad cell parts. Now, I didn't know a lot about this topic, and I was thinking that this is not a real thing. This is just a something that somebody made.
You thought it was a fad?
A fad, man, not a fad, but something that somebody actually that it wasn't a real, and there was no scientific evidence to prove that this process of cell recycling happened. There is scientific evidence to prove that it happens. Japanese scientist named Yoshinori Osumi, he studied autophagy in baker's yeast in the early 1990s. He won a Nobel Prize in physiology or medicine in 2016 based on his work on autophagy. Autophagy can't be disputed. It can't be disputed. It happens. It happens. It's necessary for survival, and it's good. That can't be disputed. I guess what could be disputed is whether Bob's 96-hour fast triggered autophagy. So whether putting yourself in a state of starvation triggers autophagy, and when does it?
So let's take it's Bob's story, and I want him to kind of share with the listeners the process. So I want him to go through day one, whatever he remembers. I don't think you journaled it, right?
No, I didn't journal.
Give us an idea, like day one, how you felt, even if it's quick?
Day one and two were easy. Day three.
Well, hold on a sec. You're saying day one and two is easy. Someone who's listening, who's never even heard of maybe intermittent fasting.
Well, again, you have to understand, I've been intermittent fasting for many years. So I was going 18, 19, 20 hours, just water.
So that's okay. So people have to know that.
Right.
You're not just going to get into it and say, I'm going to fast for 24 hours. It'd be great.
No. I built to it. Like even intermittent fasting, when I started, I don't know, 5-6 years ago, I went 12 hours and I forget this. I'm going to eat. And I said, you know what? Push yourself. So I pushed myself. And then I got up to 18, 19 hours. I was doing dry intermittent fast. No water.
You had water though.
No, a dry fast is no water.
Not a dry intermittent fast. A dry intermittent fast, no water, nothing. And I would go 20 hours.
So during your 96-hour marathon.
I drank water, clear. Yes, you have to.
Fruit juices, anything?
No, water with a like a squeeze of lemon, just because to give it some taste.
Did you suffer? Were there any headaches that you suffered?
No, like I said, the tough was the hardest part for me was from day 3 to 4, and because the hard part also was cooking. I was doing most of the cooking during this time, and you're smelling the food. But strangely, I wasn't really hungry, but it smelled so good.
So you didn't even take a morsel of food during your cooking?
I almost did, and I said, no. Even though a little taste wouldn't have broken the fast, because you have to have technically so many calories to break a fast.
Oh,
so,
okay.
But I just stuck to water, the lemon water.
Did you consume any liquid indulgences? Any no. adult beverages, perhaps?
No. Alcohol. Black. I had black espresso. No sugar.
You're a better
nothing.
Man than I am, Bob.
What do you think? I want to share a quote, and it's by a 13th century Persian poet, an Islamic scholar and theologian named Rumi. I want to know what you think.
Never
of
heard them. Of him. Okay.
Tell me what you think of this quote. Fasting is the first principle of medicine. Fast and see the strength of the spirit reveal itself. What do you think about that?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense to me anyway, because as Tony mentioned, the science behind autophagy, and I think in modern times, we tend not to look back to the past and what they did and learn from that. We just think we're better now because we're more technological.
Yeah, we have the technology, we have information.
So we just think we're better than what they, or what did they know back then? They didn't have what we have, so that kind of an arrogance. But all major religions fast. There's a reason for it. If every religion has some type of fasting component, there has to be some benefit. They're not going to be fasting if it's going to be harmful to them.
So, Tony, are you still pessimistic about what the benefits of fasting?
I'm not pessimistic about the concept of autophagy. It happens. It's scientifically proven that it happens.
You're just saying that you're not sure if not introducing food helps.
Where I am pessimistic is if putting yourself in a state of starvation triggers autophagy to the max degree. I don't know if it does. Now, there's been evidence where it does in mice, and an autophagy maxes in mice after 24 hours of fasting.
Okay.
24-hour fast. Now this happens in mice. Now our metabolism and our metabolic processes are different from those in mice. Now the concept of autophagy, it does happen. And it shows again that fasting might trigger it. The problem is it's not definitely proven, and it's not proven when. So would 8 hours of intermittent fasting once every 2 days max out autophagy? It might. Would 24 hours once a month max out autophagy? So the evidence doesn't, it's too new. It's too new.
Right.
But what's important is that if you max out autophagy, there's health benefits further from this where it shows that this cell recycling can be a precursor for a cure to dementia, for Alzheimer's, for Huntington's disease.
So and some cancers as well.
Correct. And some cancers as well.
Boost your immune system.
So this is all
important.
Yeah, this is all proven. But it's not proven whether intermittent fasting puts you in that state.
That's fair enough, Tony, but this is where I think the practice of intermittent fasting excels. It gives an individual the opportunity to practice discipline and resilience. And as an aside, my brother was in shorts all winter. Why? To help his mindset. Weren't you pretty much in shorts?
I was in shorts all winter. Tony would say, what for? He would laugh at me. But it builds that resilience to say, hey, I can do this. Push through. Fight. And keep going. And then you feel good. It's a sense of accomplishment. And you just get better and better. And then your mind, you become more clear, your focus.
So Todd, do you agree with that? At least it could help someone, give them a goal.
I can see where the personal challenge aspect comes in. 100% see where the personal challenge aspect comes in. As far as intermittent fasting goes, as a weight loss tool, I would rather just eat a balanced diet throughout the day and exercise. You know, because I could see intermittent fasting as being a little bit of a gimmick.
Fair enough.
As far as a weight loss tool. Now, if it really does promote autophagy, well, that's a good thing. That's not a gimmick no more. And that has nothing to do, that doesn't deal with weight loss either. That deals with just an overall cleansing of your system. So that's not necessarily weight loss. That's just a recycling of what's supposed to be recycled inside your body that's not supposed to be there anymore.
So that's where I promote intermittent fasting for those types of benefits that I think are good. And all I wanted to do was have Bob on here to share the story about how it felt like 96, how it wasn't doing a 96-hour fast.
Let me just interject here. It's if any of your listeners are going to do an extended fast, what I think is more important than the actual fast itself is how you break it. Because
that's good advice. How would you break it then?
You're not coming off and just starting to eat everything, because your body hasn't had food for a while and it's going to be tough on the digestive system. I did broths for the first 24 hours after my fast. It was broths, dairy-free.
Because I'm guessing you don't want to tax the digestive system.
Correct. Dairy-free, smoothie, broths, and then I introduced easily digestible foods, a quinoa, then some chicken after, as I went on after 24 hours, and then I went back to my normal intermittent fasting hours.
So you started your breaking your fast with liquids. The majority were almost entirely liquids.
Yeah. But not just... Yeah, clean. You're not going to have a beer.
Yeah. I would.
You would. I know. That's why I said that. You would.
Yeah. But let's say you were doing just a 16-8. That's pretty standard. 16-hour fast, 8-hour window feed. Are you coming off of that fast liquids?
No. I'm just eating. But I eat a very clean diet. At my dinner, which is my one meal a day from my intermittent fasting, there's always a vegetable. Sometimes it's a chicken, sometimes it's a beef, but you know, you're eating a well-balanced meal at that time. Some people do a fast, intermittent fast, but then they're eating junk food, which kind of defeats the purpose. As you mentioned, the sugar. Why would you do that after you're fasting? Why would you want to introduce sugars and junk food to your body?
I agree. That's why I'm saying they got to keep it as simple as they can. And I think the more simple lifestyle, I think you can sustain that for longer.
I think that after you intermittently fast, you're going to feel guilty to introduce sugar.
That's a good point.
You're not going to eat crap after going through 16 hours of no food. That might be a little guilt thing. You just did something special.
Right.
You don't want to screw that up with your first meal being an unhealthy, crappy meal.
And people don't understand how fast your body just adapts, because I remember then I wasn't getting hungry and my body would start getting hungry around 4 o'clock because I would be eating my dinner. My eating window was about 4:30.
So it just naturally adapts.
Naturally, it just knew to go further.
Speaking of naturally adapting, this is the other thing that people should understand. Your body will also adapt to food. So if you're used to eating salty food and then you lessen the salt and at first it doesn't taste as good, you're going to start to adapt to having less salt and you're going to like that taste. So
right.
the body does adapt.
Something that's salty to you may not taste salty to someone else, because
what I'm trying to say is you just got to get over that initial hump. You got to have right. that mindset.
You talked about on other episodes, the mindset.
Yeah.
And I think it opens up avenues in all areas of your life after. When you do something simple as not eating for X amount of hours, that's not that difficult. Maybe taking a cold shower.
Right.
Then you could push, and maybe it gives you the confidence to maybe go for that promotion at your job. And maybe it gives you some confidence to do something else in your life.
Yeah, and that's what I think. That's what I think about intermittent fasting. Tackling small issues that you thought weren't possible, and then you overcome it, and you're like, wow, I did it. I didn't think I could. And then going on to the next challenge of your life.
As opposed to a health thing. It's more of a self-regulation
right,
thing.
Right.
More of a bettering yourself thing as opposed to
the science of it. Yeah. And that's why I think it's good in that regard.
But by the way, if anybody listening thinks that Bob is not telling the truth as far as doing the 96 hours or wearing shorts, he is telling the truth. You could attest to this, Dave. We went to the movies in February or something. I'm wearing multiple clothing, a jacket, a hat, and Bob shows up in the movie theater in February. And we live in Canada, in Toronto.
Yeah. And he's basically just having opportunities to challenge himself and seeing how he could succeed. And if you fail, it's okay too. That's the other thing I want it to come across in intermittent fasting. If you fail, just do it again tomorrow. There's no pressure.
What I'm actually surprised with, Bob, is that I've done a 30-hour fast. So I've done the 30-hour famine, which is something that we use to raise money for charitable organizations.
Right.
But we were in school. We did a 30-hour famine. I was legit. I stopped eating at whatever it was, 4 p.m. of one day, and then started again, whenever it was. Anyways, 30 hours of no eating. And I found, to be honest, my head, by the time – I wasn't really that hungry. I was hungry after a few hours. But by the time the 30 hours was done, I wasn't really hungry. But my energy levels were down. My stomach felt messed up, and my head was killing me.
So that's going to be a deterrent for people.
So how do you know that? But how do you know that wasn't a side effect of your body cleansing itself?
Or, Bob, you said initially you didn't just do a 20-hour fast, a 24-hour fast.
Correct.
You worked it up. Tony didn't. That was one day. That's why probably he felt like that.
Yeah. Yeah, your body adapts to intermittent fasting. Then you push it a little further, a little further, a little further. Next thing you know, you're at 96 hours.
So, To, what I'm saying is that if you did a 16-hour fast, then you did a 20, 24, 28, 30, I don't think you would feel the headaches.
Okay. Yeah, which is possible. I'm not planning on trying.
No, I know that. I know that. I'm just saying, I think that's why you felt like that. And if somebody decided to do that and then came off of it feeling the way you felt, they'd probably say, I'm never doing this again.
Right.
Why would you? Doesn't feel good.
It's a challenge.
But then you're not going to do it again because you realize how bad you felt. But if you give yourself a challenge of 16 hours, you do that. Okay, I'm going to go 18 hours. You do that. I'm going to go 20 hours. You work up to it. That's all we're saying. Work up to it. And like we said, we're not doctors. These are just stories we're sharing of our experiences. So I want to ask, on the last day, on day 5, was there a threshold reached where you were saying, I'm hungry. I really, really have to fight this? Because when I hear you say you didn't plan on doing a 96-hour fast, for me, that would be easier to give up because you didn't set a goal to say I'm doing 96 hours.
Correct.
So day 3, were you thinking of giving up? Day 4, were you like, okay, I don't want to do this anymore? Because if I said I'm doing 96 hours and by day 3, I don't want to do it, I'm pushing because I know I set that goal of 96 hours.
Yes.
Do you understand what I'm trying to say?
Yeah. I know. I hear you. From day 3 to 4, I almost gave up. I said, I did 3 days. It's enough. But I had done a 3-day in the past. I said, no. And I said to myself, just push through. And then, to be honest, like Tony said, that he wasn't really hungry. Even after 96 hours, I wasn't really hungry. You know what I wanted? I wanted to taste flavor. It was like my taste buds wanted some flavor because all I was drinking was lemon water. So I could have gone maybe another day, I think. Until then I would be like, okay, now I want to eat because I'm really hungry.
Speaking of taste buds, I just want to just a quick comment on what you think about this saying. There's a saying out there that says, feed your body, not your taste buds. What do you think about that?
That's how I live my life. I feed myself to eat. Do I treat myself? Absolutely. I'm not going to deny myself and deprive myself of anything. But I'm pretty aware, good or bad, what goes in my body. I know this
right.
Most of the time I eat well, so I know this is good for me. Even when I have a dessert or something, I say, yeah, I know this is not the greatest for me, but it tastes good.
Right.
And I
because
don't care.
The reason why I say that is fast food has a monopoly, especially on our young people. And it is just a bombardment of fat, sugars, and oils. It's like an addiction, this fast right. food. And they're not feeding their bodies. They're feeding their taste buds because it tastes good and it's cheap.
Right. Well, that's a misconception too. It's not that cheap because you can buy, for example, a bag of quinoa that will last you a lot longer than a Big Mac combo. After a few hours, you're digesting that and you're hungry again.
Fair enough. That's a good point.
So that's what they use as a marketing tool. Oh, it's cheaper. So people fall for that.
Now, were you irritable as a husband and a father during this process? Or because you spoke about mental acuity.
No, not at all. Very calm and at peace.
Is it because your focus, your mind is focused on overcoming maybe some hunger pangs, but you said you didn't feel hungry either, so.
No, it's just it is a focus. And I don't know. I never had any hunger pangs to make me irritable.
Because I think maybe some listeners out there might try it and they might get irritable and maybe they want to hear some nugget of information for support.
Yeah, but like you said, if you're at a point where you're so irritable that you need something, they need something.
Right. And then just do the challenge
next
again.
Month, yeah. Next month, do the intermittent fasting, try to go a little longer, maybe do 18-hour intermittent fasting, and then come back at it and try it again. But now your mindset, you already kind of know what to expect, which I did after a 3-day fast.
Right.
So you know what to expect and come back at it.
Now, not to get too personal, but something just hit me. Like, I'm really curious. How are the bowel movements during and after? Or how was the gas during?
There was no bowel movements during because right. I wasn't eating anything.
Gas?
No.
That you recall?
Are you saying because the body would be detoxing, Toh?
Yeah, like I notice if I don't eat over an extended period I wake up in the morning, it's, I don't want to get personal again, but you got gas, you got to go.
Right, right.
And I'm just curious, if you're not eating, then what might happen is you might have an accumulation of air in your digestive system that you got to let out. I don't know.
I don't remember any excess flatulence or anything like that, but
that's when he Dutch ovens Anita. I'm gonna do a new segment called Guess What, and it's just basically a couple questions that I want to ask the guest and see if they know.
Yes.
What?
So the first one is, guess what the longest fast was that they have on record? Do you know?
I saw it somewhere. It's something like 300 days or I don't know, something crazy.
Wow, that's impressive. Toh, do you know?
Yeah, it's 300 plus days.
Yeah, it was in 1971, 382 days.
That's ridiculous.
It was just
the guy must have been obese, so
he was like 480 pounds, and he got down to 180, and he just had water and vitamin supplements. Apparently, I guess
we're not endorsing that as a
no. This is just a segment of Guess What.
But that guy killed you, Bob.
Yeah, he did. I'm 170 pounds. I would be skeleton.
Yeah, totally. Okay, next one. Guess what the longest time a man survived without water. Guess how many days? It's crazy.
3 days. 7 days?
12 days?
18 days.
Wow.
But apparently they're saying that this study could be a little bit flawed because it was in 1979. Andreas Mihavets was an 18-year-old Austrian man, and he was in prison, and police forgot about him, that they put him in the cell. And apparently he was licking the condensation off the walls. So that's why they're saying that the study can be a little skewed. But can you imagine?
It wasn't exactly a study.
No, it wasn't. I know we're laughing, but that's cruel.
That I know.
Yeah.
Crazy. Okay, last one. What about sunlight? Can humans live in total darkness?
Yes, because I think your body would adapt, but you'd have to take a vitamin D supplement, I would think.
So yeah, you're on track. It would say, unfortunately, we know the answer. There was a group of children that were kept in dark catacombs by a Russian cult. This was in 2012.
Oh, wow.
I know. Many of them, including a 19-year-old, had never seen the sun. But as long as you take, like you said right now, vitamin D, you stave off rickets, and you can live without sunlight. Your body's serotonin levels may be disrupted, which what would it affect if your serotonin is disrupted?
Yeah. Your sleep.
Yeah, your sleep. So that even, and then as a bonus, and sleep, the last one, as a bonus, good segue into this. What is the longest on record? Guess what the longest time frame for no sleep?
I would say some Buddhist monk.
No. How long?
8 days. I don't know.
It was, Toad, you want to give it a shot or you want me to just tell
11
you?
11 days? 11?
It was 11. Yeah, it was 11 days. Oh. And this kid, this 17-year-old high school student, Randy Gardner, in 1965 for a science fair, did this project, and he's on record for staying awake for 264 hours or that's 11 days.
Did he get an A+ on his science fair?
he got an A+. He did well. But now you could see how the brain gets really impacted.
No doubt.
I didn't look at the post results, but apparently he said he was fine. And he slept for 14 hours right after that. And there was no compromise. He felt normal. So anyway, anything else you want to add, Toe?
Yeah, just out of curiosity, Bob, because you have worked your way up to 96 hours by doing intermittent fasting. You went whatever it was, 8 to 16 to 20 to 24, eventually 96. You're going to keep going eventually someday?
I don't know. I haven't thought about that. Maybe I will. I usually tend to do a 24 to 48 hour once a month. Just on top of my intermittent fasting, usually at the end of the month, which is not difficult.
So no plans to go above the 96?
Maybe this year. Maybe, you know what? Maybe I'll set a goal for myself and see if I can achieve that.
I think you can do it.
Maybe we'll see if we get some emails from listeners and ask how long they want to see Bob do a fast, and I'll bring it to his attention. So you got to email david@tuchitalk75.com. If there's any questions you want to ask Bob, just again, email, and I'll make sure to pass it on. Would you be okay answering those questions?
Absolutely. I'll even give you, for your listeners, my detox immune boost drink that I do in the morning. Not the greatest tasting, but it helps.
So, you know, you have a recipe for that?
I do.
Okay, send it to me, and I'm going to put it on the website under the links page, and they can have a look at that. TucciTalk75.com. I'll post it up there, and they can take a look at that and see what they want to do. What's the main ingredient in that detox drink?
I'll give you a few. It's ginger, turmeric, cayenne pepper.
No. That sounds delicious.
That sounds so delicious.
Can't wait to have that.
Hey, coming up a 96
next
hour
time
fast.
You're over, we'll have a shot. Put her on some ice, then we'll have a shot.
Again, that's to challenge the mind.
Yeah. Now that's a mind challenge.
Yeah. All right, guys, this was fun. Thanks for coming on, and we got to do this again sometime.
It was a blast.
All right. See you guys.
See you guys.
We should do an episode on laughter and how that could possibly be the best medicine, because I'm feeling great right now after that. Again, a big thank you to Robert, Bob, and Tony for coming on today and adding their value to the episode. If you do want to give intermittent fasting a try, speak with someone you trust. If you are in general good health, I think it's great to give it a try. There's an app out there you might want to use. I use it. It's called Zero. It basically keeps track of your fasts. It gives you different fasting options. Dr. Peter Attia is on there with some informative literature, and it's completely free, so you could give that a shot. I really would love to hear from the listeners, so share your fasting story if you choose to do one. Email it, david@tuchitalks75.com. You never know, your story may inspire someone else out there. If you like the podcast, rate the episode, subscribe to wherever you like to listen to podcasts. Connect with me on Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat @TucciTalks75. Next week, I have an educator from St. Francis Xavier Secondary School coming on. She is the equity lead at their school. She has been teaching for about 15 years. And next week, we're really going to be cutting the chatter because we're going to be doing an episode on Black Lives Matter. That's it for now. See you next Monday. Enjoy the rest of your week. I hope you had a good time today. If not, then it's my job to always remind you to add, that's right, a little funk to your day.